this is an important sort of middle thing to do. We're going to get to communication and then how to make progress and how to change things. But this is a little middle step that I think is really valuable, which is to discuss and sort of flesh out what your expectations of the other are. And it's going to be tempting to say, well, I want you to do this, this, and this, and this, and I want you to read my mind and know that this needs to get done, or I want you to be nicer when you ask me for blah, blah, blah. I mean, you could go on and on. There's plenty of options of what our expectations are. But this is a little bit deeper than that. This is goes to kind of the heart of what we feel when we interact with our partners, what we expect to feel, and then what we end up feeling sometimes can be very different, especially when it comes to having tasks in our life that are a pain and a lot of work, or you're sort of doing all of this all the time and the other partner never does it. You can start to build feelings of disconnection, and some real resentment can grow. And it often happens in this very core place of our expectations of what our partnership should mean, maybe what it used to feel like and it doesn't feel that way anymore, or maybe the expectation's always been there but the reality hasn't. So I want to help you guys dig into where those expectations sort of reside and why they're so powerful to make us so hurt or angry or confused. So there is an important theory in psychology called attachment theory. And it's essentially boils down to our very basic mammalian need to be safe and connect with others. And so you take a baby, they're born, they're useless, they can do nothing. They can cry and go to the bathroom basically, and that's it. They would be dead if they did not have the ability to elicit a response in their caretakers. So crying and making cute faces and all the stuff they do that ultimately lead us to take care of them. There's also lots of good chemicals, and also, you know, we're not monsters, so we take care of our babies, right? So all of that is really important for their literal survival. So as we grow older and we have different, obviously we can feed ourselves and dress ourselves and do some of those things, we don't have the same physical need to be safe, potentially, but we absolutely have that emotional need that's still very deep within each of us. So when we marry somebody and commit to be with them for life, we are putting all of this sort of biological, very old need as human beings to be safe and connected. So when anyone perceives a slight disconnection, I want you to think about it as sort of a slow punch to the brain, just a low grade punch to the amygdala, which is our fear center of our brain, which is the fear of being abandoned, the fear of disconnection. And people are more or less sensitive to this, but all of us have this to some extent or another. And so when our partner doesn't listen to us, or our partner doesn't see that I need help and jump in to help me, sometimes it's kind of like this low punch to the brain. It's a feeling of maybe abandonment, a feeling of fear, a feeling of being alone. So I'll hear a lot of couples describe this aloneness, that they just feel completely like they're doing everything on their own. And that's why division of labor is such a touchy subject, because there's enough labor to go around usually. How it's shared and how it's communicated can either help us feel like we're working as a team and in a partnership, or it can help us feel like we're alone. So that isn't simply like, oh, I feel alone. It's this low-grade punch to the brain. And when we're in that kind of distress, even if it's such a low-grade thing, we tend to respond less logically. We tend to, you know, if you think about the baby crying to get the attention, to get the nourishment to survive, we do a version of that as adults. And everyone does maybe their own different dance, but it is definitely a cry to, hey, connect. And that doesn't work sometimes the way we do it. So part of what we need to understand about you as a couple is, what dance are you doing? I'm going to stick with my dance analogy. What dance are you doing in your bids for connection and response from the partner that play into this emotional labor topic? So I want you to get a piece of paper again. Oh, so much paper. All right, get a piece of paper again and write down what you want. So I'm going to make some guesses here, and this is just based on many, many couples I've seen and my own experience. It isn't 100% true for all couples based on their gender, but it typically tends to go in this direction where women carry a lot more of the to-do lists in their heads, a lot more of the mental and emotional labor for planning and organizing and creating sort of the life that everyone expects and wants. And men tend not to think about all of those things at once, maybe things one at a time. Now, obviously, you can have the exact opposite in a marriage dynamic. I've seen that many times too with the genders, but the general roles tend to be the same. One partner feels a certain way and the other kind of is the other. So I'm going to make some guesses here based on my own experience and then generally a lot of couples, that most husbands, male partners, are really genuinely just want their wife to be happy and may even say those things and may even present that as that's a version of, you know, my good intentions, and so you should just trust me on that and stop feeling sad. but it's a genuine want, wants her to be happy. Generally wants the goalposts to stop moving around. You know, you say you need this done, so then he does it, and then you're still mad. And it feels like the goalposts have moved, and there's no way to kind of make you feel happy. And maybe it's just not clear on the emotional context of what's happening. And so doesn't quite know what to do and can give up pretty easily. So they just would like to understand what's happening. There's a lot of mind reading that goes on between couples. Like, you need to read my mind. You need to see that I need this. And if you loved me, you would do it. And I think a lot of men in particular have described feeling very burdened by that dynamic, that they can't read minds and that they're always in trouble and they don't really know what to do. And a lot of them want to know just what to do to fix it. And I think those with really long list mental load in their life can't just say, well, I need to do this and this and this and this and this, and have you suddenly step in and do all those things and it works out. So people get at a crazy crossroads at that point. So also men can describe really just wanting to feel peace. They want to feel the equality in the relationship, and they want to feel that they have power, and not in the dominating sort of sense, but the power to make it better, the power to improve things, the power to relieve your burden, the power to communicate a little bit better. And then often for the woman, there is this list of desires that are, sorry, let me say something real quick about the man. At its core, there is a feeling, a very subtle, low-grade feeling of abandonment, that you are alone trying to please this person that doesn't seem like you can do it right. And the reason I want you to write down your own, because this may not fit you at all, and that's okay. But it's really important to get to what you're actually wanting. And, you know, for a guy to say, well, what I really want is just a traditional housewife from 1950 who never complains. If that's true, then be honest. That's what you want. But maybe that's not actually what you want as well. Maybe go deeper. Is it that you just don't want the stress, the strife? You don't want this feeling of I'm alone and I have no power. So it's about being really honest with what you want and then maybe digging a couple inches deeper and figuring out maybe there's these underlying feelings that are going on. So for her, there's often a feeling of a desire for partnership, a desire to have help, a desire to not feel alone and abandoned. And again, think of that low-grade punch to the brain, that I'm alone. And even though I may have girlfriends and other friends who are in the same situation and we can talk about it, in the actual partnership, in regards to this topic, I'm feeling very alone. So they also want to feel less burdened. They want to feel peace. They want to feel the equality as well. And a lot of them, it's not that they want to give up all of the mental load. Some of that, and we'll get into how to work on that in a couple of sessions here, want to just have the support in the list that they do have. Of course, maybe offload some of that list. But there are things that they care about on that list that they want to make sure happen. Maybe it's with the kids or with the house or with their jobs or something that they want support and feel like they can't quite get that. Okay, so sit down again. Take a little time. Write out the things that you want. And share them with each other again. Keep this part, 15 minutes again. You don't have to go too deep into it. And get down to the core of what it is that you want. And keep it positive as much as you possibly can. Like, I want you not to be a jerk is not really that helpful. More like, I want to feel closeness. I want to feel connection. And think about that in terms of attachment theory a little bit. And you can Google that and get an idea of what that's about. It's really a powerful thing between couples that I think sometimes gets neglected. So we'll go from there.